as we kind of come back to, I kind of like that there, as we come back to contemporary times. Let's see, Hakeem knows Julian the First and fought with him in the Juicer Uprising. The Juicer Uprising is a very important, it's kind of a turning point in some of the history of this world, and we'll explore it more as we keep going forward. I like the idea that, you know, Julian, or Yakim's history is going to blend into some of this just well-written history that I know of from reading these books for decades now. But just as importantly, it also helps us establish who Yakim actually is. And maybe this explains a little bit more of who he is. For you see, Julian the First was the revolutionary who led the Juicers into their kind of like uprising against a coalition fortress and won. So maybe this explains why his hindrance is a code of honor, as he would have learned that from Julian. But I'm going to ask a new fake question here. One of the things that that Yakim has for one of his hindrances is an enemy. So is Yakim's enemy the coalition states themselves? Is he known to be one of the, as they call it, terrorists as part of the Juicer Uprising? I'm going to give this one 50-50. Okay, 31. Enemy, coalition states. Wanted terrorist. Okay, now, the other one that we will eventually fill in, the other hindrance that Yakim has, is his obligation. And I have some ideas, but I don't want to do this all at once. I like figuring this out, teasing this out as we go forward. Yakim is a very surprisingly complicated character now. But as we come back to the time of today, let's see. I'm going to give Julian, I'm going to give Julian, he probably has a good idea. Chaos factor of 6. I'm going to say it's likely that he sees that there's been a change in Yakim. 53. Julian, his arm propped up as he's getting a new tattoo. And he kind of looks Yakim up and down. Hey there, son. You've been starting to feel it, huh? Yakim just kind of... Yeah, the job went a little sideways, and I had to pump a little bit more than I did, than I thought I did, and I'm starting to see some black around the edges. Julian goes, he's starting to feel flush, he's starting to feel the heat, what else are you getting? No, nothing like that, but doesn't feel good. Julian, yeah. You know, by all calculations, I should have probably kicked it a while ago. I mean, easily a couple years past when should have been my prime, but, you know, here I am, right? Hale and whole and still going strong. Yeah, how the fuck are you doing that, man? Because it's not about how I'm doing it. It's about how you hold yourself together, son. That's the important part of this. Be aware, if you fall out there, especially in service of us, of the Juicer Army. Jay's got your back. Nobody falls without a purpose. Yeah. All right, well, my purpose didn't go too well today. And he slings the backpack over. And one hand, he kind of unzips it, and Julian peers inside. He goes, fuck is this? It's the doll that the buyer wanted. It didn't survive a crash. Were there any more? That was it. Found it in an old department store, you know, way out in the wildlands, and this little fucknut kid managed to get there before I did. He was trying to snipe the job out from underneath us. I caught him, but flipped his car a couple times and had to get it back. That's when Julian kind of looks up and he goes, "Who's the civvy?" "Oh, her. Fucking ballast at this point. She stole my car. Worked for a bunch of bandits. Thought I'd trade her in, see about getting some credits." And I think Julian kind of looks him up and down and goes, "You've always been one to have a little bit of a soft spot, ain't you? You let this one live, you're bringing her back. What happened to the kid?" Let's see. Does Yakim lie to Julian? I'm going to say this is very unlikely, mostly because, you know, he's got... I kind of feel that Yakim would have a lot of respect for Julian. You know, the Juicer army, strong camaraderie, but then again, we don't know so much about Yakim to say that he's going to have a hero, right? He may have when he was younger, but this Yakim seems to be a little bit bitter. So we're going to say it's unlikely he tries to lie, but we'll find out. 41. Kid don't matter. No, I left him out there. Goes, "All right. So you killed him? He's as good as dead." "Okay. It's kind of cold, man, but good. Last thing we need are people picking off jobs from the rest of us. We got to fund ourselves an army here." "Yeah, well, I was hoping we might be able to get a couple bucks for this." "Well, if you think you can negotiate for it, go right ahead, son. I'll back you up. Hope we'll get at least a little something from the collector." He goes, "Oh, yeah, take it, sell it. I tried to get the best I could. If I find another one, I'll bring it back." Julian goes, "I know you will, kid. I know. All right, well, why don't you go get yourself a drink and then turn in your grease mark to see about getting a little bit of cash." He goes, "Thanks, General." And he gets up, turns around. So we are going to return the creepy doll. That is done. Mark those off. So Yakim's background is now a new thread. That's fun. Background. And now, let's see. Let's also add on here, work for the Juicer Army. Okay. Characters. This is fun. Julian the First. In addition, we're going to put Dodge City as a character, as the city itself is going to be, it's going to have character style qualities. Let's see. Valen was part of this. All right. Now, fate chart. I'm going to leave it at 6. Not too much really happened there. Not too much terribly changed. But what we did know is now we have a little bit of a background. We watch as Yakim starts coming into a little bit of focus. Not only is he a juicer, we knew that from the beginning, but Yakim was part of the Juicer Liberation Army. He knows Julian the First, the general for the Juicer Liberation Army. And he's not just some two-bit hack out here working in the wilds. He's established as the army, which is going to be another character. Juicer Army. I hadn't planned that, but the idea that the Juicer Army is taking these jobs collectively to pay for their own existence while hiding out in Dodge City, first, there's an irony to the name, right? But also, they're going to be hunted. They're going to be hunted by the coalition states. These are still, to them, to the CS, these are terrorists who took down the city of Newtown. So we're going to explore that further, and that's actually really exciting. But let's now test to our next scene. So I think our next scene is Yakim. Yakim is going to try to turn Valen in to get a little bit of money. So that's one of the threads. Turn in Valen. So chaos factor 6. We have a 1. So with a 1, what is that? It's an altered scene. What is altered? Let's roll a d10. We got a 3. Reduce, remove an activity. Okay. What activity? Let's roll on the thread chart to see what gets reduced or removed. 2. Keem's background. That doesn't quite make a lot of sense yet. So what we're going to do, we're going to turn... let's turn to some of the meaning tables and see if we can help kind of just get an idea for what is going to be reduced here. 68, miserably, 91, miserably slow. Okay. So here's what I picture. This is an altered scene. Miserably slow, which means, Yakim comes out, bypasses the bar, just waves in hand to a bartender who offers him a drink. He goes, come on, Valen, we're going to go talk to a sheriff. They walk out into the city streets. There's enough cement that the sidewalks and the roads are primarily consistent. And he walks around the corner. It's a few blocks. As they come up, and there is a, you know, 3-story building that has a big gold star in the middle. And underneath it just says, you know, security. He walks in and he goes, hey, I got a bandit that I'm hauling in. I wanted to run her down, see if she had any outstanding bounties, and if she does, I want to turn her in. And the guy behind the counter, he adjusts glasses. Let's see, let's roll a description here. Let's get like a really basic NPC going. We are going to... character abilities now. Let's do descriptions. Nope. Come on. Mutations. That's what I'm looking for. 2, animal, 94. Usurp. Okay. There is a dog boy behind the counter. And as Yakim kind of walks up, the canine snout looks up, and for a moment, Yakim has a moment just thinking of the jackals that he just fought, but he actually knows dog boys. Dog boys are, they're a genetic mutation that had occurred, not even a mutation, they were an intentional mutation that the coalition states performed to create a loyal breed of soldiers for the coalition states, as dogs had been part of human evolution for longer than we can even remember. They figured that breeding a humanoid dog with a near-human intelligence would be the ultimate savior for the human race, and it was. Dog boys are intensely loyal to the point of self-sacrifice. They maintain a lot of the breed standards and a lot of the personality traits that come from these fine creatures. And make no mistake, I absolutely love dogs, right? The kind of downfall of it is, at times, these animals were mistreated. The coalition states didn't treat them as even equals. And so those who had enough of intelligence would recognize that they were being abused, that they were being mistreated. And much like any abused animal, a few of them snap back at the hand. And as we see here, there is a German shepherd with broad shoulders. His ears perk up as soon as he sees Yakim walk in. Nose flares a little bit, kind of sniffing it out. With kind of a too human voice, but still a little distorted because of the heavy muzzle. Good evening. And, yeah, I will need to be able to take some biological samples and DNA to run down your background checks. Is this acceptable? And Valen goes, oh, fuck no. And Yakim goes, yeah, it's fine by me. Ignore her. He kind of pulls her up, and she stands there. A tiny little needle comes out from a side, there's like a teller screen, kind of like going into a bank. And then what looks like a syringe needle pops out with a small robotic arm. Stay still. And it jabs into her side of her neck just very briefly. You see the skin dimple before it pulls back out, and the tiniest amount of skin and blood pulls itself back in, and there's just suddenly a scattering of computer noises. The dog boy is glancing down and watching it. He looks up and goes, she is not registered as having any bounties. Nikim's like, are you fucking kidding me? It's like, she is not in any of our databases. There's no bounty on her head. As far as I know, there's nothing wrong. It's like, fuck. Can you run it again? I found her out in the wildlands. He goes, could take a cheek swab. All right. So here's what I'm going to say. We don't know if Valen has ever actually performed any illegal activity or anything, which means that she, I'm going to actually say it is unlikely. I'm going to say it's actually very unlikely that she has a record. And that's because I am interpreting the scene change with a slight interruption. He was expecting to take her in and get like some 500 credit or whatever bounty, but maybe she doesn't have one. Maybe part of, you know, Valen's cover story is that she operated this mechanic shop, but you know, she would send people that she assumed were up the way to get robbed, beaten, whatever they were going to do. But she herself never lifted a hand in violence. And it was just when, you know, she started hearing that they were fighting back and they fought their way out of, you know, the bandit camp that she stole the car and fled. So maybe Valen does not actually have a criminal record. So we're going to say it's very unlikely that she has a criminal record. Chaos factor of 6 means it's 35 or lower. Yeah, 63. Yeah, no, confirmed. She's not part of any registry. I can check with some of the First Nations, but they don't generally really tell us who they've got bounties for or not. Yakim goes, fuck. All right. Well, I guess I hauled her ass all the way out here for nothing. He goes, well, you can always put her in the gladiator pits. I'm not going to do that. That thing's a blood sport. I'm not too keen on that. He goes, all right, well, is there anything else I can do for you? No. Actually, yeah. Hey, do you have anything on Jean-Francois Sierre? He goes, do you have a DNA sample? No, not really, but just wanted to see. Oh, we'll check. So I'm going to say 50-50. Let's see if he pulls up anything on Jean-Francois. Ooh, okay. Okay. Not only is there something in there, but you rolled a 44. So when you ask a fake question and you roll double the same digit and it's under the chaos factor. So in this case, this is 44. So not only does this mean, you know, there is something about Jean-Francois in here, but we're going to have a random event. So let me look this up because we haven't had one of these yet. And this is fun. Random event focus. 53. Move toward a thread. Okay, which thread do we move toward? So let's move 5. Return Jean-Francois to town. Okay. Okay. What does this look like? Let me think. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. All right, I'm gonna do one more roll just to see if I can get a little description here. 32, 64, fearful majestically. Okay. Okay. As the all right, so as Yakim asks this question, the dog boy starts typing something in. And we hear the roar of a motorcycle. Pulls up with a slight squeal. And Yakim, just out of the corner of his eye, turns around. And he looks out the door. He goes, that guy. And he turns back and he goes, I wouldn't worry about it too much. He just showed up. And as soon as he says that, there's a bong, bong, bong. And the dog boy looks up and goes, he's on our most wanted list. What? And he turns back and he sees Jean-Francois walking into a building just on the other side of the street from where he was just announced that he is on a most wanted list in Dodge City. Now that's where I'm going to end tonight's game. So, friends of Yakim, thank you, and I will talk to you next time.